Chapter 73. His Majesty will be 82 years of age on his next birthday. The court prepares to celebrate it with a great feast. Mr. Pryor is in a sad way about their refusing at home to send him his plate. All here admired my Lord Viscount's portrait and said it was a masterpiece of rigaud. Have you seen it?
It is at the Lady Castlewood's house in Kensington Square.
I think no English painter could produce such a piece. Our poor friend the Abbe hath been at the Bastille, but is now transported to the conciergerie
where his friends may visit him. They are to ask for
a remission of his sentence soon. Let us hope the poor rogue will have repented in prison.
The Lord Castlewood
has had the affair of the plate made up and departs for England. Is not this a dull letter? I have a cursed headache with drinking with Madame some more overnight, and tipsy or soberum, I never, all this letter, save some dozen of words which I have put above between brackets, was mere idle talk, though the substance of the letter was as important as any letter well could be. It told those that had the key that the king will take the Viscount Castlewood's passports and travel to England under that lord's name. His Majesty will be at the Lady Castlewood's house in Kensington Square, where his friends may visit him. They are to ask for the Lord Castlewood. This note may have passed under Mr. Pryor's eyes, and those of our new allies the French, and taught them nothing, though it explained sufficiently to persons in London what the event was which was about to happen, as 'twill show those who read my memoirs 100 years hence, what was that errand on which Colonel Esmond of late had been busy, silently and swiftly to do that about which others were conspiring, and thousands of Jacobites all over the country clumsily cabling, alone to effect that which the leaders here were only talking about. To bring the Prince of Wales into the country openly in the face of all, under Bolingbroke's very eyes, the walls placarded with the proclamation signed with the Secretary's name, and offering £500 reward for his apprehension. This was a stroke, the playing and winning of which might well give any adventurous spirit pleasure. The loss of the stake might involve a heavy penalty, but all our family were eager to risk that for the glorious chance of winning the game. Nor shall it be called a game, save perhaps with the chief player, who was not more or less skeptical than most public men with whom he had acquaintance in that age.
Is there ever a public man in England that altogether believes in his party? Is there one, however doubtful, that will not fight for it?
Young Frank was ready to fight without much thinking. He was a Jacobite as his father before him was. All the Esmonds were Royalists. Give him but the word, he would cry, God save King James! Before the palace guard, or at the Maypole in the Strand, and with respect to the women, as is usual with them, 'twas not a question of party but of faith. Their belief was a passion. Either Esmond's mistress or her daughter would have died for it cheerfully. I have laughed often, talking of King William's reign, and said I thought Lady Castlewood was disappointed the king did not persecute the family more, and those who know the nature of women may fancy for themselves, what needs not here be written down, the rapture with which these neophytes received the mystery when made known to them, the eagerness with which they looked forward to its completion, the reverence which they paid the minister who initiated them into that secret truth, now known only to a few, but presently to reign over the world. Sure there is no bound to the trustingness of women. Look at Aria worshipping the drunken clodpate of a husband who beats her. Look at Cornelia treasuring as a jewel in her maternal heart the oaf her son. I have known a woman preach Jesuit spark, and afterwards Dr. Berkeley's tar water, as though to swallow them were a divine decree, and to refuse them no better than blasphemy. On his return from France, Colonel Esmond put himself at the head of this little knot of fond conspirators. No death or torture, he knew, would frighten them out of their constancy. When he detailed his plan for bringing the king back, his elder mistress thought that that restoration was to be attributed under heaven to the Castlewood family, and to its chief, and she worshipped and loved Esmond, if that could be, more than ever as he had done. She doubted not for one moment of the success of his scheme, to mistrust which would have seemed impious in her eyes. And as for Beatrix, when she became acquainted with the plan, and joined it, as she did with all her heart, she gave Esmond one of her searching bright looks. "Ah, Harry," says she, "why were you not the head of our house? You are the only one fit to raise it. Why do you give that silly boy the name and the honor? But 'tis so in the world, those get the prize, that don't deserve, or care for it. I wish I could give you your silly prize, cousin, but I can't. I have tried, and I can't." And she went away, shaking her head mournfully, but always, it seemed to Esmond, that her liking and respect for him was greatly increased, since she knew what capability he had both to act and bear, to do and to forego. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.